With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody and welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown podcast, also rebroadcast on Sirius XMFC 157. I'm your host, Ewan McTeer, and I'm delighted to welcome you along to our first 2020-2021 episode. This is our first of two season preview podcasts, and in this one, we're going to focus on the title challengers with Paco Pollet in Valencia, with Roman de Arquer in Barcelona, and with Gregor Chapel in Seville, and myself in Madrid. So, welcome everyone. Excited for the new season. I'll start with you, Gregor, because there's no clubs in crisis in Seville, really. Are you looking forward to the new campaign?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how both clubs perform this year, especially Sevilla after the obviously very successful end to last season. A couple of new signings coming in the door this summer as well through Monchi. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think especially Sevilla are looking confident ahead of the new term, and I'm excited to see how they can do.
Paco, another season is here already. We only just finished the last one, but here we go again.
Yeah, well, I guess that it's good news, you know, having the chance of chatting with all the squad. And yeah, well, La Liga Lowdown facing its third full season. We've been for 2.5 already since it was March 2018, right? It's been so quick, everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I think it's excellent news, and the fact that football has been able to overcome impossible odds in order to restart the final 11 games last season, and more or less getting the schedule put together so that we can start everything midway September. So I'm pretty excited to see what La Liga has for us in storage. Although, as you guys might already know or guess, I'm not that happy with what is happening in Valencia in the last couple of months. But that's a given, you know.
Yeah, we'll get on to that. You're right, 2.5 seasons of La Liga Lowdown. I mean, that's the equivalent of, like, what, 5 or 6 Valencia coaches, something like that. So
yeah,
we're doing well.
And
we're
in dog years and human being years, like being a Valencia-based journalist, it's like 10 or 15 years in my book, more or less.
Yeah. And Roman, it's been a nice and quiet off-season for Barcelona, no? I'm sure you're looking forward to the actual football restarting.
Well, surprise, surprise, I am looking forward to it, but because I want it to end as soon as possible, basically. So the new president comes in, so we get, you know, a new season, because what's going to come for Barcelona this year doesn't look good at all. But apart from that, I mean, it's been a quick transition from the last season to this one. So in that sense, I mean, I'm always looking forward to seeing football and watching football. But in terms of Barcelona, I don't expect very good things to happen, to be honest.
Now, let's get into the meat and bones of our discussion. Real Madrid are defending champs after coming back from the coronavirus pause so well. It was 10 wins in a row for them after the restart, and they ended up finishing 5 points ahead of Barcelona last year. So for this term, are they the clear favourites? Roman, what do you think?
Well, I think they're clearly the favourites. I mean, as you said, Madrid finished the season really well. They're going to keep most of the same squad they had, and I think they should actually improve because let's not forget that last season, the ending was really good, but during most of it, Madrid weren't fantastic, and before the coronavirus break, Barcelona were top of the standings ahead of Real Madrid, so they still have things to improve, and I think this third year for Zidane could be ideal for that. And it also depends a lot on what Barcelona and Atletico de Madrid do, because if they're poor, then of course Madrid will have an easier path to the title, but if they play well, then it might be a bit harder for them.
Yeah, and Paco, do you expect Real Madrid to comfortably win the league? I remember a couple of seasons ago when Valverde came in, when Neymar left, we were talking about Real Madrid might win the league by double-digit points, and they didn't. They ended up losing it by double-digit points. What do you think? Are they really going to storm to the title, or do you see something else happening?
Yeah, but at that point, Real Madrid had Valverde and Barça in front of them, and this season they're going to have Ronald Koeman's Barça in front of them, and I believe that is going to be a huge advantage for Zinedine Zidane. Yes, to be short in my answer, yes, I believe that the bottom line is that Real Madrid have been able to keep their squad, plus some worthy additions like Martin Odegaard, who I believe we're going to tackle on later. They have the best physical shape of the top teams, excellent keeper in Courtois, Ramos and Varane at the back, strong midfield. My only big question is that I don't really know if Benzema will be able to keep his top form, which he displayed last year. But if we leave that aside, I believe that they are much better equipped for a 38-game fight than, for example, Barca or Atletico or even Sevilla, if we squeeze them into those final four teams. So I don't really believe that they're going to have much opposition, and I think that Real Madrid will easily, or maybe with a bit of effort, but they will surely win La Liga this season.
And Gregor, anything to add to that, or do you agree with the guys?
Well, basically, yeah, I agree with the guys. I mean, I think they finished last season really confidently. They'll be getting into this one again full of confidence. They'll be looking at what's going on over at Barcelona and thinking this is a really good chance for them to come out this season, especially at the start, kind of get some points on the board. You know, Barcelona might not be able to start the season as well as they'd like to, so if they can get a few points on the board early on, I fully expect them as well. With players like Paco said there, Odegaard coming back, he had a great season last season at Sociedad, so I think, yeah, I don't really see many reasons as to why they wouldn't be very confident and comfortable this season in the league.
Yeah, in the transfer market, they haven't really signed anyone. It's just been a lot of wheeling and dealing in the loan market, but Martin Odegaard, you mentioned him, Paco, he is coming back. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, in my view, I believe it's huge. I think that's a very, very worthy addition to their squad. Actually, in the last couple of days, for example, we've seen like very talented players such as Dani Ceballos have been loaned once again to Arsenal, for example, because they see that the player isn't ready yet to that level of demand that any young player has in Real Madrid. But in Odegaard's case, I believe he proved his worth in Real Sociedad. And actually, we can have a quick review of his stats. Last season, he played 31 games, scored 4 times, delivered 6 assists, but overall, I believe he provided the measure of what his team could do. Whenever he was on fire, Real Sociedad clicked in all terms. And later, when he vanished in the last stretch of the season, Real Sociedad suffered and fell short, ultimately, of Champions League spots. So I believe he's ready, more than ready, to tackle the challenge of fighting for a spot this season as a starter under Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, I agree. I really do think Odegaard is the real deal. And yeah, we saw, like you say, last season when he was on fire, Real Sociedad were on fire. Roman, let's talk about another club on fire in a bad way. Let's discuss just how much of a mess Barcelona are in right now. They've managed to keep hold of Lionel Messi, and we had an entire Messi podcast that came out on Saturday. But even with Messi staying, there's still a lot of issues for Barcelona as an institution.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we have to see how things go, for example, with the moción de censura, where Bartomeu is in a very delicate position. We'll see if the Socios are capable of getting enough signatures to get him out of the presidency. That could change things a lot, because that would mean that there would be somebody temporary in his position, the president, and they would have to start elections in a maximum of 3 months. So there, things could really boom again and change a lot. But if Bartomeu stays, you know, he's going to still have a lot of criticism because he's done things terribly. Everyone said it, even Messi himself, you know, he wasn't afraid of pointing out Bartomeu's problems. And the good thing is we've already managed to get rid of a few players. I mean, Rakitic has already left. It looks very likely like Vidal and Suarez will be leaving soon. So that those are very high salaries that Barca is going to get rid of, and it's going to help, you know, improve the economical side of things. But there's still a long way to go. Koeman has a lot of work to do. It's not going to be easy at all. Despite having Messi, which is obviously good for us, I think, because he's the best player in the world and he's going to help us still be at the top of the standings. But it's going to be a very, very hard season for Barcelona.
So let's talk about Ronald Koeman. Paco, you're a Valencia fan and you know what it's like to have Ronald Koeman as your club's coach. It was mixed when he was there at Mestalla because he won a Copa del Rey, but he was terrible in the league. That was a long time ago, though. Do you think he's changed or improved?
Well, possibly he's changed in some bit, because I don't believe that everyone should be measured for what they did 12 years ago. But at the same time, I have to talk about my experience. And the fact is that I had to suffer Ronald Koeman as a coach 12 years ago in Valencia. And it was an absolutely awful season. It was one of the worst seasons ever for Valencia. I believe that Valencia would have gone down definitely if Ronald Koeman hadn't been sacked, remaining a couple of games. So in that sense, it was a very, very tough year. Yes, Koeman was the coach when Valencia won the Copa del Rey, and the wording in this sentence was made absolutely on purpose. He was the coach, that's it. But he didn't win, actually, Copa del Rey. We could speak volumes and plenty of shows and focus everything on what happened that season. So I think that, yes, he has improved as a manager in these 12 years. But in many ways, I've seen very, very similar things to what he did back in the day with Cañizares, Albelda, Angulo, when he sidelined them and he didn't allow them to train with the rest of the squad. The way he has handled, for example, talking to Luis Suarez and telling him he's out of the team, or how since his arrival the club has handled a number of player issues, including Leo Messi, as Roman said before, in an absolutely awful way. So I think Barca fans are in for a painful season this year, and let's see how Ronald Koeman is able to do. I have serious doubts that he's able to finish the season in Barca's bench.
Well, a message of optimism there from Paco. Yeah, I was looking up some of Koeman's stats from when he was at Valencia, and I saw that he has the third worst winning percentage in the league from all Valencia coaches ever. 18.2% of his league games that he won. That's even worse than Gary Neville. So
it is. Yes.
Yeah, you can look forward to that, Barcelona fans. We're going to take a short break just now before we resume this discussion about the new La Liga season and the title race. Paco, Roman, Gregor and myself will be right back after this short pause.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to this podcast from La Liga Lowdown. It's our first of two preview podcasts ahead of the new La Liga season. And in this one, we're discussing the title race. We've already talked about how solid Real Madrid look and about how Barcelona look about as sturdy as a Jenga tower. But now let's look at the other potential challengers. I want to talk about Atletico Madrid. Diego Simeone famously said that last season was a transition year. Personally, I think that was fair enough, considering that they lost half of their starting lineup in the 2019 summer, including Antoine Griezmann, but now they have no more excuses. Gregor, can Atletico really mount a title challenge again?
I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, last season they could maybe be excused for some lackluster performances, considering how many changes they had, but they've had a full year now to work with those players, and especially, I just think this season, if there's ever going to be a year where a club like Atleti could be pushing for second, if not first, it's this season, especially with everything that's going on at Barcelona. That's not something that happens every year. And he'll be looking, I mean, for example, Joao Felix, that we're going to touch on him in a moment, but I mean, he came with so much promise, didn't really live up to what everyone expected, but like Simeone will be looking to get the best out of players like him. If he can keep hold of players like Thomas Partey, guys like that, I don't really see why they can't. I mean, I think Real Madrid are going to be very strong, but like I said, with the issues at Barcelona, I think Atleti could be looking at what this season and thinking they could challenge them, could get second. You never know, they could, a couple of dodgy results for Real Madrid, they could maybe push for the title. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, like Atletico winning it back in 2013-14. You mentioned Gregor Joao Felix, so let's talk about him a little bit more. What did you make of him last season? Because he didn't really live up to the price tag of 127 million euros, but Atletico probably weren't expecting him to come out and be amazing in his first year. That's why he signed such a long contract.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to remember just how young he is. He's only 20 years old, and I mean, he was a little bit hit and miss last season, but he was plagued by injuries. It's hard to get fit, especially at such a young age when you're not playing regularly. You had to adapt to a new league, to a new city. I think Simeone as well wasn't entirely sure how to use him. I mean, he was playing him right in midfield, then he'd play him more centrally. But now, after having had him for a season, I think he'll be able to get the best out of him. I mean, it might also be the case that a lot of people have said this, he's maybe not too suited to Atletico's kind of rigid style of play, and it's taken him a little bit of time to adapt to that because it's very different to the style that he enjoyed at Benfica. But I mean, I fully expect Simeone to get the best out of him. He's a huge talent. We saw in the Champions League, like, we had flashes of brilliance from him last season against Leipzig. We saw like how he can make a difference in a game, and I think Simeone will be looking to get more of that out of him this season. He's undoubtedly a talented player. I would be surprised if he didn't kick on from last year in the new term.
Yeah, it's interesting, that idea of how he fits into the system. I've always sort of maintained that Atletico Madrid are like a chessboard kind of team. They have many players, 10 players, who like to move maybe one square there, maybe two squares there. And then they have one queen who can just move anywhere they want. That was Griezmann for a while. He was allowed to do what he wanted. Maybe that can be Joao Felix. But Roman, what do you see tactically with Joao Felix and Atletico Madrid? Does he fit in, or do Atletico Madrid have to adapt to him more?
Yeah, I do think that Cholo has to adapt a bit more to what Joao Felix needs. I mean, he's a young player. He still has a lot to learn, a lot to improve. It's going to be hard for him to fully understand what Cholo wants, and he doesn't have that much experience, you know, playing in top competitions. He was in Benfica, and he just jumped into Atletico de Madrid now. So I think that needs a lot of work, and so maybe Simeone should be a bit more flexible in the sense, give him more freedom as he would with Griezmann, because we know that Joao Felix is a very talented player. We saw how consistent he was at Benfica, and we saw at Atletico Madrid, as Gregor mentioned, a lot of flashes of quality. You know, he's capable of doing things that many players aren't. So if he gives them that extra bit of freedom and adapts a bit more to João Félix, I think he could finally find that consistency he wasn't capable of finding in the first season with Atletico.
Yeah, and Paco, anything to add about the João Félix debate?
Well, I would say that this season is the one where there's no further excuses needed. He had already his transition season, as you guys said earlier, and now he has to become the leader that everyone expects him to be. I'm talking about attitude here. I'm talking about his, you know, the way he focuses on top of the pitch. And I'm not using the price tag as an excuse to put pressure upon him, but if he really wants to fulfill that potential, the potential he really has, he needs to step up his game. And I'm not talking about only like goals or assists. I'm talking overall about his influence in the development of every single game. And that, I think, has much to do with his attitude and morale on top of the pitch rather than his physical quality or the way Simeone uses him.
Now, let's move on to Sevilla. They finished 2019-20 strong in La Liga, and then obviously they won the Europa League as well. And remember, when they finished fourth, they finished level on points with third-placed Atletico Madrid. They've strengthened further in the summer. Jose Castro, the club president, has mentioned that they could challenge for the title. Gregor, is he crazy? What's the word on the street in Sevilla?
Well, I mean, it always scares me when a chairman comes out and makes a statement like that. You just kind of hope that that headline doesn't get retweeted 50,000 times at the end of the season. you know, but like, I think he has reason to be confident. Like, especially with the way they finished last season, obviously winning the Europa League, superb. They finished really strongly in the league, unbeaten after the break. They've made a few strong additions this summer. Like Oscar Rodriguez, he was like in his top scorer last season, a good replacement for Eber Banega. And you just have to, I mean, Monchi at this point, I think we all just trust him to do well with the signings that he's bringing in. He's brought in Rakitic as well, great addition. He's coming back, I think, probably a more complete player with bags of experience from Barcelona. He'll help younger players in the midfield, like Rodriguez, for example, alongside him. And the fans love him as well. So I think they'll look at the league end this year and they'll be full of confidence. The players were loving playing under Lopetegui last year. I don't know about winning the league. I'm going to sit on the fence about that one, but I think they could definitely push for third. I don't see why not. They were close to Atleti last season, and I think they're going into this term even stronger. So I have no reason to see why they can't push for third, maybe even second. But winning the league, I'm not entirely sure.
So you're going for second or third, Gregor. That's why you didn't make the marker front page, you know, sitting on the fence like that. You have to say something crazy. I do think you're right. You mentioned maybe we'll see that retweeted at the end of the season. I'm pretty sure that headline about Sevilla winning the league might be posted on the Betis dressing room wall when the first derby comes around. Paco, what did you make of it? Can Sevilla really go and win a league title?
I really think that it's maybe punching above their weight quite too much. I think that Real Madrid nowadays has maybe two or three tiers above what Sevilla might offer. I'm not talking down Sevilla. I think they are doing an amazing job, especially after Monchi was back a couple of seasons ago. He was able to rebuild the squad from top to bottom, and later the team delivered with Lopetegui on the bench. So I think that they have chances of fighting for the championship for much longer. They will remain in the race for many, many more match days, but I believe that at the end of the day, that consistency, especially in a season where the team is going to play the Champions League, is very tough to keep. And that level of attitude, that level of physical presence, that level of football is very, very tough to keep throughout 38 games. So maybe La Liga is too far from their reach nowadays, but they are on the path. I believe that they are on the path of becoming the alternative for Atletico Madrid at the third team in Spain nowadays, because they have all the appropriate tools nowadays. They have an excellent sports director. They have Lopetegui on the bench, who has proved his worth that season. Great players. Rakitic is back. They signed Bono permanently a couple of days ago. So they have all of the ingredients, but cooking the dish might be a bit too tough, at least for the 2021 season.
So Paco sort of sees a long-term project at Sevilla. Roman, if you're buying stock right now, are you buying stock in Sevilla or Barcelona?
Barcelona, of course, man. You know, they're always in good shape. No, obviously, right now, you don't want to get close to Barcelona. There's no doubt about that. And as they were saying, I think the first position for Sevilla is far-fetched. I mean, they have a good side. They're building something that looks amazing. But let's not forget that toward the beginning of the season, a part of the Sevilla fan base was actually criticizing Lopetegui because things didn't seem to be working out so well, even though they were near the top. And then suddenly now, you know, he's a fantastic manager, very experienced, etc., etc. So, I mean, things can change really quickly. And I do think Sevilla have to work on what they've managed already. They have a great squad. They can do important things. And Champions League positions, I think, is the more realistic thing for them at the moment.
Well, that's us nearing the end of this podcast on the title challengers. Before we go, I'm going to ask each of the guys for a prediction of how the top four will finish up. I'll go first, just to make sure nobody accuses me of sitting on the fence for all of this. I do think Real Madrid will win the league again. Then I think it will be Barcelona still in second place, then Atletico Madrid, and then Sevilla. Exactly the same as last year, but that's just what I feel. Paco, what say you?
Well, Real Madrid winning the league, as we touched upon earlier. Atletico coming in second, Sevilla coming in third, and Barca fourth. I know it's bold. I know many people might be angry about this prediction, but I'm talking about the way I see things nowadays. It might change everything, like in match day 3, match day 4, teams not winning games, managers being sacked. But at this point, I think those are going to be the standings. Real Madrid first, Atletico second, Sevilla third, Barca fourth.
Roman, are you angry? What's your prediction?
No, I understand what Paco's saying. It's a possibility. But I think Real Madrid will win the title. I actually think Barcelona will be second because mainly Messi is staying. So I think that's going to help us quite a lot. And then I was doubting between Atletico and Sevilla. But, I mean, Cholo always gets the job done, you know. So I think his team will be third. And finally, Sevilla will be fourth.
And Gregor?
Well, I'm going to agree with everyone here and say Madrid champions. I think Barcelona will have enough, like Roman said, with Messi staying now especially, to get second place. I'm going to have faith in Sevilla to get third and Atletico in fourth.
Perfect. Well, that's everything from us for this first preview podcast. So thank you to Paco Pollitt, Roman de Arquer, and Gregor Chappell. We'll be back very soon, though. This episode has been released the Monday before the new season starts on Friday. And we'll have preview podcast 2 coming out on Thursday, where we'll discuss everything else from the Europa League battle to the relegation fight. I hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on Twitter at La Liga Lowdown, and be sure to check out LaLigaLowdown.com for lots of written content as the new season gets underway. For now, thanks for listening today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.